This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Having a terrible week? Well, hang in there, because we are back with your favorite Avatar The Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Zach Muhammad, and as always, I'm joined by my good friend, Jacob Redman. Jacob, how you doing on this fine morning?
I'm doing great, Zach. It's been a very chill weekend. I've had a good weekend, and I'm just excited to be looking back on season two with you. So I would say I'm like a 3.8 out of 4 cabbages.
Nice. I'm pretty high as well. Yeah. I had a good night last night, ate a lot of good food, had some stomach troubles this morning, though, honestly, after eating all the food. But hey, you know what? I'm kicking and I'm doing great. I'm excited. I think I'm also at a 3.8 out of 4 cabbages. Let's roll with it.
Well, there you go. We didn't get the listener score, but, we'll say that this is the 3.8 day for everyone. So that's not too bad. What did you eat for dinner last night that gave you the stomach troubles?
My mom made like this vegetable bowl mix of like corn and black beans. It was actually really good, but yeah, just gave me the stomach troubles. Like while we, it was a little TMI, but while we were like doing, while we were preparing for the show, I was like in and out of the washroom. I was so grateful. Okay, well. I was so grateful you pushed it back 30 minutes. I was like, thank God.
Hopefully it doesn't come to that where you have to just like dip mid podcast.
Nah, I think I'm good. Yeah.
All right. Perfect. It's always funny. Yeah. Whenever like I have a good meal, I'm always like very happy. And the stomach troubles really can bring it down, but I'm glad to know it seemed worth it.
Yeah, it was worth it. But enough about me. I'm excited to dive into our season two and review podcast. Honestly, there's a lot of episodes in season two where I thought I'd be lower on, and then a lot I thought I'd be way higher on. So it's interesting. I'm excited to dive into this recap with you and see what we thought was a good episode, what we thought was a bad episode, and dive into the nitty gritty of it all.
Yeah. When I look at the episode rankings, like we have a lot of episodes in the like 3.6 region, and I think that's like a very interesting region to look at, because it's like it's like actually 3.66 to 3.68 has like four different episodes. It's super interesting to see that we have like so many of those episodes right on the cusp of an A. Like, yeah, very interesting to go through this, especially because if I would have thought like, oh, which episodes I like most, I would not have all of these the same. I definitely would have rated them lower, but you know, going through them I think really changes it. And the biggest thing I've thought going through in season two is watching it week by week is such a different experience from a binge. Did this hit you as well?
Yes. Watching it week by week is very differently from a binge. And for season three, I was wondering, should I binge it before we podcast about it and then watch it week by week? I was debating that because it is a very different viewing experience.
Yeah, that definitely is true. Honestly, I would be down. I want to just like watch all of them and then like, you know, I can go week by week. I'm not sure. I might try to pace myself, because like I think going through the like week by week of, like the library, desert, like having all of these episodes essentially without Appa felt so different, when you were watching them like one at a time, like one a week, rather than knocking them all out at once. It really felt like a very different experience.
Yeah, and it made me lower on some episodes. Like the desert is an episode without Appa, and I think that's the lowest point of season two.
And oh my gosh, yeah. And we rated it lower by like quite a considerable margin.
Yeah, but it still was like a 3.11 or something like that.
It was a 2.85.
Oh, like, 2.85. Okay, there we go. Yeah, that's pretty
low. This was an episode with the failing grade. Pretty rough because, like, yeah, the next worst episode's like a 3.14. Nice little pie reference on the swamp. Like, it really, like, I think that's an episode that I would have said that I liked, and looking back on it, I didn't like it as much.
Same.
One thing that we should get into before we dive too far in is we did have an Avatar Universe fan, you know, compete in the Olympics. There was a great post where he posted, he was like a windsurfer who had his hair just like Aang with the arrow. He's a gold medalist.
Yeah, Kieran Badlow is his name. And yeah, he won the gold medal. And then we're going to have a little segment later on in this show where we're going to put some Avatar characters into Olympic sports and see how it goes. So I'm excited for that as well. And yeah, we had a real life representation of an Avatar character in the Olympics. So yeah, this guy has the Aang haircut, the blue arrow in his head. And yeah, he won the gold medal. Shout out Kieran Badlow. Another Avatar, The Last Airbender fan.
Yeah, very cool to see, you know, the team Avatar, like have some, Olympic representation. If you would have asked me last year, like, will someone dress up or like, not dress up, but essentially like go as Aang in the Olympics, I'd be like, nah, that'd be crazy. But here we are.
Here we are.
Anyway, so very cool. I wanted to shout that out. But yeah, so let's dive into season two. You know, we're here to talk about everything season two. We're recapping it. Let's get started at the beginning. So we start out with the Avatar State episode. This is an episode that like I didn't really remember a ton of. I remember like kind of the intro, but even like looking to the start of season three, The Awakening, like, I think it's an episode that like, you know, there's so much hype before, with the like season one finale. So going into season two, there's nothing too memorable, but I really like this episode looking back on it. I had a lot of fun with that one, Zach.
Yeah, I did too. I remember one of the more fun moments we talked about was when you were talking about how Azula was about to vaporize the man on the spot, but instead the writers thought it was too dark, so they didn't do that. But in the HBO version that we always talk about, she probably would have vaporized him on the spot. You know what's funny? I think that's the genesis of when we started talking about the HBO version of the show and how it was a more like more mature stuff would be happening. So I had a lot of fun podcasting about that episode, and like you, I didn't remember it that well, but I think it's a solid episode overall.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I totally forgot the generation of that HBO version of the show, but you're totally right. That's what it was. Oh my gosh. Yeah, there's so many different HBO versions we've made. The Team Avatars died like 12 times in the HBO version.
True.
It's rough out there.
Yeah, they're like Kenny from South Park. They just keep on dying.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think that Avatar does a really good job with season premieres. Like, I think because there's so much hype going into the season finale. Like, season one finale, season two finale are both huge events. But I really do think that they do a good job of, like, you know, bringing you back in. And, like, it's not, like, always the highest stake thing, but it's pretty interesting. And I think the Avatar State did a really good job of that.
I agree. And for similar reasons, that's why I'm excited to dive into the season three finale. I think season three actually starts off with a bang, and it's pretty good.
In the premiere, yeah, for sure. Then we got to, you know, one of the most memed things in Avatar, which is the Secret Tunnel song. that had its moment on TikTok. Like, it was all over the place. I remember people were, like, tagging me and stuff. People would send it to me. Like, man, that had its moment.
Yeah, season two, episode two, Cave of Two Lovers. Besides the Secret Tunnel song, is there anything else that stands out about this episode to you? Because, I don't know, Zuko steals the ostrich horse. What else happens in this episode? Not much, in my opinion.
Aang and Katara, they you know, get a little closer in this episode.
They do kiss. You're right.
That's something.
You're right. That is something. And that's like a way more romantic moment than Zuko and Katara have in the finale. So you're right about that.
That is true. That is true. Like, honestly, anyone who is, like, you know, super Zutara, like, they never had a moment like Cave of Two Lovers. Even when they're also in a cave, like, it's paltry compared to the moment that Aang and Katara share here, so.
Exactly. I agree completely.
Yeah. Then, like, we get a few episodes that we were, like, not as high on with, like, Return to Omashu, The Swamp, and Avatar Day. These episodes all kind of like blend together to me as like, you know, they're doing season one type adventures. Like, they're doing random stuff. They're going out and they're just like, you know, living their life, going on adventures. Any highlights from these episodes that we should remember fondly?
Of these three, I think the swamp stands out for me. I like the swamp, honestly. I think I like Doo and Cho. I like the swamp benders. Why? What was my rating of it? Do you have that open? Or
I don't have your rating. I have the aggregate at a 3.14. So
3.14. Yeah, I feel like the fans were a little low on it, but I was a little higher on it. I don't know. I like the swamp. Like, just the everything in the swamp. I don't know. I messed with it. I liked it. I think it's a stronger episode than Return to Omashu and Avatar Day, in my opinion.
But Return to Omashu is where we get the like introduction to Mei and Ty Lee. I mean, that cannot be understated. Like the fact that we go to the carnival, like with Ty Lee, and then we see Mei and her boring life as like some random bureaucrat's daughter. Like that's just a great intro to those characters.
I just remember us complaining about May's brother named Tom. We complained a lot about Tom Tom and his name.
Tom Tom is just such a trash name. I was gonna like include Tom Tom in the game that we're gonna play later, and I was like, no one remembers Tom Tom.
No.
Not a soul remembers Tom Tom, that little kid that got the pentapox.
Nobody remembers little Tom Tom. And then of Avatar Day, I remember the villagers were kind of meh in Avatar Day, but Kiyoshi had a very impressive feat of bending where she like separates the earth like the whole continent basically. So shout out Kiyoshi for being a beast.
That definitely is true. And I think the thing that sticks out for me with Avatar Day is the Wheel of Punishment. Such a funny idea. Like I love the little gimmicks they do. That's like, that might be one of the best jokes in all of season two, is that like Avatar Day where they're like, but I thought he had to do like, or I thought he had to die. And it's like, no, community service. Thank you. Can do community service.
Yeah. Max. And there was really good. I forget who was the voice actor of the leader of the village, but he was like a very famous voice actor. So
Yeah. Then we get into a stretch of like pretty great episodes. The Blind Bandit introducing Toph, Zuko alone with, Zuko on his own. These are like incredible episodes.
This might be the best back-to-back episode stretch in the whole series, I think. I think Blind Bandit is my favorite episode of season two. I love Blind Bandit. I love all the pro wrestling references. I was very disappointed I had my whole thing and I couldn't make it for the podcast, sadly, for that. But you and Navi on them did a great job with the Blind Bandit. I thought it was really funny. So
and that's when I learned about John Cena's Sexy High School Adventure 2, and it will always stick with me. That is a reference that I will never forget. Talking about that so much, looking it up, like deciding whether I should ever think about it again was quite a trip. But yeah, that was quite the time. Zach, you made a very bold claim. You just said the Blind Bandit and Zuko Alone are the best back-to-back episodes. Tales from Ba Sing Se and Appa's Lost Days are also incredible back-to-back episodes. And interestingly, the ratings would indicate that that is a better back-to-back stretch. We gave the Blind Bandit and Zuko Alone a 3.96 and 3.67. And we one-upped each episode by just 0.01. So Tales of Ba Sing Se had a 3.97 and Appa's Lost Days had a 3.68. So which one's better? Like this is a good question to get.
I think we talked about it on the podcast, but Appa's Lost Days is a little slow at points. It's a great episode, don't get me wrong, but it's not like a 4 out of 4, at least not in my eyes. Whereas I think Zuko Alone and Blind Bandit are both close to fours for me, if not out of 4. That's just my opinion. I think Tales of Ba Sing Se is the best episode of the four, and then Appa's Lost Days is the weakest episode of the four. So,
okay. Well, that's also interesting itself. Like, what's the best? Like, is it the best and something like slightly worse? Or are you going like two like star players? Like, is it LeBron and some scrub, or is it like, you know, two randos or two like, you know, mid-tier stars or whatever?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think I'd rather go the two mid-tier stars personally.
Okay. So you're a Clippers fan.
Yeah, well, I thought the Clippers last year went deeper than the Lakers, so.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah. So I think that's actually like very interesting. I think Appa's Lost Days, I guess we'll talk about it in a second. I think the fact that it has all of that storytelling from the point of view of like someone who can't talk, but there's so much emotion there, is like great storytelling. It's such a unique episode. So I'm going to go ahead and cast my vote for the Tales of Ba Sing Se and Appa's Lost Days being the best the best, like one, the best two part episode or the best two episodes back to back. I think we might have to settle this with a poll.
That's fair. We can pull it up. I'm down.
Okay.
I think all Zuko right. alone is just such a great episode, though, too. It's just like it really cements the whole divide between Zuko and Azula. It shows you how beloved Azula is by Ozai. Also, the show heavily implies like Azulon gets bodied by Ozai, which I thought was shocking. I watched that episode the week you guys podcasted about it, and I was like, damn, yep. I forgot all about this.
That, yeah, absolutely bodied. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that the Zuko alone episode is great because it gives a lot of like background that we wouldn't have known otherwise. And I think it's like kind of similar to an episode we'll get in season three, where like Zuko learns about his past and we get like a lot of backstory with Avatar Roku and Sozin. I think that that's a very interesting, episode, but yeah, like ultimately, Tales of Ba Sing Se is just so good. Like, Yeah,
that's true. I agree.
I think it carries, but
that's
we will let other people decide. Then we get to a few episodes that are all kind of middling, The Chase and Bitter Work. Any comments here? Very little sticks with me, about The Chase. Like,
really? I like the final fight scene, I think sticks.
That's what I was going to say. The only thing that sticks with me is that final fight where they all send like all their blasts, including a boomerang at Azula, and then she just disappears.
Yeah, I can still picture in my head the moment where like Azula's chasing Aang, and then we almost get like the Looney Tunes moment because Aang's like floating in the middle of a room, and then Azula like slips, does the splits, and then Zuko comes in, rushes into the room, and falls down. So I can remember like little things like that from The Chase. But yeah, overall, not the most memorable episode. Also, it had very funny facial expressions. I think Katara at one point had like the weirdest face when she was angry. So I thought while the animators had fun with it, it wasn't the best episode. It was a little boring. But I thought we had a pretty fun podcast about this episode as well.
Yes, that was a great podcast. Like being back together talking about that one. That was a lot of fun. Yeah. I think, yeah, definitely like the animators had fun with it. We had fun with it. So
yeah,
that one I'll remember fondly. Yeah, then we get like a stretch of episodes in the middle here that really takes up like a solid stretch from the library to Serpent's Pass. We have the library, the desert, and the Serpent's Pass. These episodes, like, yeah, I really think that the season has like two parts in my mind. There's like the part where it's like, you know, Aang and the rest of the people are like traveling up through like Bitter Work. Then there's like these three episodes, which are kind of like some random story. And then they get to like Ba Sing Se. And I think like this little like random story, which does motivate the rest of the episodes, really just like looking back on it. I don't know. I don't like it week to week. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, but then I think the desert is the lowest point. And Serpent's Pass, I don't have too many notes on Serpent's Pass right here, but the library is a classic episode. I think like sometimes we have these like one episode antagonists that are very forgettable, but then Wan Chi Tong is an excellent one episode antagonist. I remember you saying you used to have nightmares about him on the podcast. And unlike my nightmares about Wishbone, that actually makes sense because Wan Chi Tong was pretty terrifying. So
yeah, I definitely like the library episode will always stick with me, but maybe not in the best way in that like I am legitimately scared of that owl. I had a lot of fun podcasting about that one because like we made the joke about like he who knows 10,000 things. Like, that was like one of my favorite moments on the podcast where both of us at the same time were like, that's not that many things. Like that's not enough things.
Yeah. He should be the man who knows like a billion things.
Exactly. We were so in sync there. I forget who even mentioned it first, but like we both had it in our notes. We were both like, yes, this is right. This is not that many things.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it first, but I had like a whole soliloquy in my notes basically about why it was stupid. So I was really happy you mentioned it. But yeah, no, I think I separate the library from the desert and Serpent's Pass myself personally in my head. I think the library is like a tier above those two episodes.
That's fair. That is fair. It definitely is like an enjoyable episode, if nothing else, because it's just so scary. Yeah, but that was, yeah. Oh my gosh.
And then you have any thoughts about the desert or Serpent's Pass? I think the desert, like we were talking about earlier, probably the low point of season two. Nothing notable really happens this episode. I mean, we have Sokka drinking the cactus juice, I guess, is like the funniest part of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, the cactus juice is like, whatever, fine. Like, I didn't really see much about it. That's like worth recapping. The Serpent's Pass was like kind of fun actually, because in the Serpent's Pass, we do have the, like that heist that they pull off, on the boat. I thought that was like fun to recap, like with Jet and Zuko seeing them work together. And I think that's true. Like a storyline that's like super underrated is that connection between the two of them. Like the fact that like usually, you know, Aang is getting compared to Zuko, but here, like there's someone who's even, you know, crazier, further down the path than Zuko. That was very great. I think that was like great storytelling.
Yeah, I agree. And then the titular serpent was also a very fascinating looking creature. Kind of looked like the Onagi, except all green and like shiny and stuff. Looked like a cool like Pokemon almost.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. No, that was cool. Although, like, I'm pretty sure that was the same like type of monster that was in the unaired pilot as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it looked very similar. Then the next episode, it was a very fun episode to record. The drill with Kevin Mahadeo was just a great time. I had so much fun recording that podcast. That is such a good episode. You know, we have like this whole like plan to take it down and yeah, the old white people phrases. That's what sticks with me from that episode.
Yeah, I remember that too. I was just like, yeah, I use a lot of old white people phrases. That was too funny. And yeah, but to talk about the episode itself, one of my favorite episodes of all season two, The Drill. It has one of my favorite scenes where like Aang is scaling the wall and then they show him like perpendicular to the wall, like sprinting up.
Yeah.
And then he jumps down and hits the nail on the drill. Just an amazing, like, the action sequences, because that whole episode was just like one big action sequence, and we haven't really had an episode like that before. So it was, I really enjoyed this episode. I thought it was amazing and incredibly well done.
Yeah, I know. Like we did rate the fight a little bit low, I think. Like we rated it only at like a 3.17, but that's kind of because the whole episode is one fight, and the fight at the end was like not that great.
I agree. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Then like once I get to Ba Sing Se, I feel like the season picks up a ton. I mean, like there's only what, like a few episodes from, City of Walls and Secrets all the way through the Crossroads of Destiny, but it just feels like so much happens in this back half of the season. This back half of the season is action packed and it has a whole episode dedicated to Appa, who's not even like really there.
I agree. I love every episode of the back half of season two, except the Earth King and the Guru, I thought, were a lot of exposition and setup. Not to skip ahead too far, but there were a lot of exposition and setup for the finale. But then I think the three episode stretch of Tales of Ba Sing Se, Appa's Lost Day, and Lake Laogai. I thought Lake Laogai was a very underrated episode, and that's an excellent three episode stretch. I think we gave Tales of Ba Sing Se, we both gave fours. Appa's Lost Days and Lake Laogai, I think I gave like a 3.8 or something. So there's three highly rated episodes.
Very, very high on those episodes. And I just think of like Ba Sing Se is such an interesting place to go. Like there's so like, because it's like been talked about for so long. It's like known as like, oh, that's the Earth capital. But once you get there, there's so many interesting characters, like from the like 30 different Judees to like the Dai Li's control. There's so many intricacies. And I really feel like that Avatar did a great job of like playing politics for a bit. You know, like I think so many other shows would shy away from this type of thing where it's like, you know, talking about like, I guess like the intricacies of some made up thing, but instead, like, I really think they hard commit to like, no, we're going to make this interesting. We're going to like reveal the secret slowly. And I feel like the world that we build in Ba Sing Se is just so interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And to add on to it, it's just like the fact that they're able to tell this like woven, like this story of like these, the politics and the intricacies in the city in a children's show, no less, is very impressive. You have like a puppet leader, a coup happens. And again, it's a kid's show. So it's a very impressive storytelling, I think.
Yeah. And then, so it's a great stretch of episodes that they have, but we had a great stretch of guests, 15 through 17. like it was great. We had like Maggie Morgan blow us away with all of her like analysis and like the stuff that she was bringing to the table.
She was incredible. Like I was blown away. I was honestly, I felt like I didn't even talk that much on that podcast because I was just, I was speechless just trying to absorb all the knowledge from Maggie like a sponge. So
yeah, I really did think that like her rich knowledge of like, you know, the characters, like what they were doing. And like, she really did like, you know, not that we don't take it seriously, Zach, you know, I watched episodes. I care. I pay attention. But the fact that like,
me too.
Yeah. I'm not saying you didn't.
No, I know.
But the fact that she like paid careful attention, like what they're doing in a little more subtle ways, I think really elevated that episode for me. Like it's already one of my favorite episodes, if not my favorite. And that just like put it over the top. Like that it was great to have her on that one.
Yeah, and like every story in Tales of Ba Sing Se is told so beautifully, but I kind of forgot prior to this rewatch, I thought Iroh was the last vignette, yes. But instead it was Momo, and I forgot just how heart-wrenching the story of Momo was in his search for Appa.
Yeah, again, they did a great job of telling the story from the perspective of someone who can't talk, who like barely interacts with the world, like in the way that the other characters are. But then like told a very compelling story. And I thought that was like very good. And yeah, it is just sweet to see like Momo care for Appa and like have that connection that we probably all were giving to them anyway. Like everyone probably thought like, oh, they're so close. But seeing that, they did a lot of like, you know, showing, not telling. I think that was great.
Yeah, I agree.
Then we had like a super fun episode with AJ talking about Appa's lost days. Yeah, just like even from the intro when we were talking about how clearly it is that AJ's a firebender, like just fantastic, just chef's kiss to that.
Yeah, it was a great podcast with AJ. And then to talk about the episode a little bit, it's a very interesting conceptual episode because I can't think off the top of my head of an animated series where the animal companion gets their own episode and backstory. Like, hell, even Pikachu and Pokemon barely gets a story like this separate from Ash. So yeah, I love this story of Appa and Appa's lost days. It's excellent stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like Gary has an episode in SpongeBob where he does like his own thing for a bit. You're probably right.
Gary has a couple of episodes like that, actually. That's fair. But Gary's also the atypical animal companion because, like, at one point, he's like, remember when he's in the library with, like, the deep-ass voice? So
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
So Gary has a lot of, like, interesting moments. Like, Gary's done stand-up before. So he's an, I guess these Nickelodeon, something with these Nickelodeon animal companions.
Yes.
To be seen.
And you said, like, you know, Gary's in the library with a deep voice. Like, we're going to see Appa talk in season 3. Like Appa does speak. Yes, it is like probably a nightmare or like a, you know, like a not very coherent, but you know, Appa speaks.
Yeah, and he also has a deep booming voice, so there you go.
I mean, yeah, he's got to, right?
Of course.
Yeah.
But yeah, Appa's Lost Days, great episode, honestly. We were all very high on it and rightfully so.
Yes, great episode there. Then Lake Laogai with Felipe. Like great friend of the podcast. This was very fun. I think that we had, this is when you delivered your eulogy as Pipsqueak.
Yeah, I did.
I'm very glad that Pipsqueak will be coming back. I feel like this is like what we need for the podcast to, you know, keep us going is at least one Pipsqueak reference per season.
Well, the thing is, with Pipsqueak, I'm always in your guys' hearts, so I never go away. I'm always here with us all, so there you go.
Perpetually with us.
To talk about Lake Laogai for a minute, I went in with low expectations. I didn't think too much of Lake Laogai upon this rewatch, and then I realized it's a pretty underrated episode, and I was very much surprised with it. And rest in peace, Jet. This is like the whole Jet eulogy we get, and yeah, this puts a bow on his story, and he passes away untimely.
Yeah, this is an episode that doesn't even need a an HBO version. We see the character die, so some serious stuff goes down, real ramifications here. They did not pull their punches on this episode, and I think it was good. You know, we show like how brutal the Dai Li is. And then it makes it even more impressive that Azula just like topples them within the span of 2 episodes. very impressive stuff. Very impressive stuff from the Lake Laogai episode.
Yep.
Yeah, Zach, you are right. Like, looking back at the Earth King, the Guru, it was only a few weeks ago, but yeah, it is a lot of exposition. I feel like the Earth King, like, has a ton of fight. It's like one long fight for just a very, an extended part of the episode as they're like fighting their way through the palace. But the Guru itself is just like so much exposition, and it does a great job to set up the Crossroads of Destiny, but watching it as a standalone episode is kind of like a snooze fest.
Yeah, I agree completely. Just watching it as a standalone episode is kind of boring. Like, what happens? Like, banana and onion juice? Like, the Guru stuff with Aang is kind of boring. I don't know what else. Yeah. It's kind of tedious to get through. It's kind of a slog. I didn't mind. Like, I thought we had a fun podcast about it, but the actual episode itself, it's like, eh. Sometimes we'll do record the podcast and I'll like change my score because I'll talk to you and be like, oh, this episode, I'm a little higher on it now after our conversation. But this was an episode where I did not feel that way. I was not higher on it after talking to you.
The one thing that I appreciated from this was Azula just being a complete mastermind and running circles around like the Dai Li. Like, the way she's setting this up was just so impressive that, I didn't mind it. And I think that this episode does a great job of setting up the finale. Like, without this episode, without like having a big expo dump right before the finale, it's like hard to land it. So I think they did like a great job of at least giving us what we needed to get through the rest of the season.
Yeah, that's true. And now shall we get into the finale, the Crossroads of Destiny?
The Crossroads of Destiny. Yeah. You know, thinking back on it this past week, I've really gone back to the thought that it's actually Zuko who's at the Crossroads of Destiny and not Aang. Mm-hmm. And how season two really is like, it's kind of the story of Zuko. Like, we get Zuko alone, we get his sister involved. Like, more and more the show is becoming about Zuko.
Yeah, Zuko, I mean, is pretty much like a second protagonist. And there are very few stories I've seen told with like two protagonists of equal value. And in that, we have it right here with Zuko and Aang. So you're right. This pretty much is the story of Zuko season two.
Yeah. I really did think that like hearing Iris say that again, rewatching the episode, thinking about it with a more critical lens, like, I have just been very impressed with the way that they're telling Zuko's story. And I'd be interested to know if this was planned out from the beginning. Like, I think it's very interesting to see that Zuko was like, you know, the antagonist. He was the bad guy. We kind of got an Ozai moment where he was like, fine, I'll do it myself. Like with the Thanos, like sending in Azula, like, you know, stepping up the big guns. Season three, Ozai will become an even bigger antagonist. I would be curious to know, like, yeah, was this Zuko's destiny from the beginning, or did they realize what they had with the character and what they had with the voice actor as well, and Dante Basco?
Yeah, Dante Basco does an excellent job as Zuko here, and I really love his voice act. You can always sense, like, the pain in his voice, I feel like.
Yeah, should someone check on him? I think he's doing okay, but, like, you are right. Like, he knocks pain out of the box.
Yeah, and he's doing great. I mean, he has an Avatar podcast. He's like our competition now. I'm pretty sure he has like that, what's it called? Like Braving the Elements or whatever.
Yes. Have you ever seen the movie There Will Be Blood?
Yes, I think so. Javier Bardem and stuff.
No, it has Daniel Day-Lewis.
Daniel Day-Lewis. No, I haven't seen it. I always mix it up with No Country for Old Men.
No Country for Old Men, also a great movie. But No, this is a movie like about like a oil tycoon type person. Mm-hmm. And in one of the last scenes, he says, "That makes you my competitor." And when you said like he's our competition, that made me think of that. Also, we had the professor write in, Professor Strunk, write in from a long time ago. I'm very excited he's back writing in on the podcast. He mentioned the fact that the competition should make us better. So I feel like, as an economics student, I should have mentioned this earlier, but the professor set me right. Competition will make us better. Bring on all the Avatar podcasts.
Bring them on. Let's do it. So we'll put our dukes up, we'll fight with them, and yeah, we'll win.
I do not want to fight anyone. I would be trash at it. Have you seen this like Big Brother boxing thing that's going around?
Yes, I have. So like Canadian Big Brother contestants are fighting American Big Brother contestants.
Yeah, why are these people fighting? I don't get why people want to actually fight other people. Like, Yeah.
I think it's just an easy cash grab because a lot of these, there's more celebrity boxing events happening nowadays. It's the Paul brothers kind of started this trend and now it's just continuing with like a lot. Everyone wants a quick buck. So they're doing these celebrity boxing matches.
Okay, well, we're going to officially opt out of the Avatar podcasting boxing match, or at least I will.
I will too. I'm not. I'm a lover, not a fighter. That's what I think.
Perfect. Yeah, anyway, so that was like the rundown of the season. I did want to go through the rankings just a bit because, sure, as I mentioned earlier, we have a few episodes that are all in this like 3.66 to 3.68 range. And I wanted to see, did we get it right the first time? So the episodes are The Avatar State, Zuko Alone, The Drill, and Appa's Lost Days. They're all in this really tight range. Does this seem right? Should one episode have gone up? Should one go down? Like, are these episodes all effectively the same? Like, I'd be very interested to hear your opinion.
I think Avatar State, I was way lower on it than that. Or not way lower on it, but what were the four episodes again? Can you repeat them, please?
Yeah. So The Avatar State, episode 1, Zuko Alone, episode 7, The Drill, episode 13, and Appa's Lost Days, episode 16.
Yeah, I think Avatar State of those four episodes is the weakest. And then the other three I would have all in a similar tier. All like, they're all like 3.6 to 3.8 for me. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. I think maybe I would put Appa's Lost Days a bit higher than the rest, but I think Zuko Alone and Appa's Lost Days should be a little bit separate from The Drill. I think The Drill is a good episode. Like, it does show a lot of like Azula and have her character come into it. I think you're right. The Avatar State is like a definitive bump down, like probably down like another half point or something. And I think Zuko Alone and Appa's Lost Days could go up even a touch, and that would be about where I'd put them. Yeah.
All right.
And then for the battles, we have a few battles that are like high up there. I think it's clear who's on top. I think the like last fight, Zuko and Azula versus Aang and Katara, is number one. But I just wanted to go over two that are like pretty high up there. We have Team Avatar versus the Earth King soldiers in the episode The Earth King. And we have Azula takes on everyone, both as our like second and third highest fights. I just think it's crazy that these are like our three best fights, because the Azula takes on everyone fight is good, but the Team Avatar versus the Earth King soldiers was cool. It had its moments, but I'm not sure we got it right.
I mean, that was a pretty epic start to that episode, though. It just starts with them just like battling the soldiers. I thought it was a pretty solid fight, to be honest. Why? What fights do you think were better than it?
Well, yeah, I know like when we were going through the podcast, I was so surprised that Earth Rumble 6 was actually not that interesting of a fight. But I think the fight where Toph takes down the wrestlers at the end of that episode, at the end of the Blind Bandit, is probably like an underrated fight. I think that we probably did not give that all of its due. And then, I think like when Team Avatar is fighting the Rough Rhinos, in Avatar Day, I think that's like also a fight that we might have been too low on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Team Avatar, when they fought the Rough Rhinos, that's true. I also liked when Iroh and Zuko fought the Rough Rhinos as well. Was that season one or season two?
No, that was season two.
Yeah. That was a solid fight as well.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. And then the worst fight that we had ranked here was Master Yu and Jin Fu take on the Misty Palms crew. I just wanted to point out that fight was not very good.
No, it was not. I mean, it's very forgettable, honestly. I just remember at one point they like throw this random dude outside of the building, which I thought
that was the best part.
That was pretty funny, so it made me laugh in the moment. But besides that, that was a pretty forgettable fight overall. Though Master Yu and Jin Fu are like funny characters. I like their buddy cop dynamic. So
They are funny. I appreciate them as characters, but I did not need to see them like just absolutely dominate some people in a bar.
Yeah, me neither.
Yep. All right. Well, that is our rankings. You know, it's always so fun to go through them, to look and like have an order of, you know, what's the best episode? Where do we feel about this? And then I think looking back, it's interesting to see where we land. I think that, you know, I don't disagree with myself. So at least we're consistent, Zach.
Yeah, I don't disagree with myself either, at least not in terms of these ratings. So there we go.
Perfect. Cool. So the next thing we have on the docket might just be a total flop on podcasts, but we're going to try it anyway. Davis, Will did give us an incredible game of rock, paper, scissors, and I would like to try to play it on the podcast. Zach, is this, can we at least try?
We'll try. We'll try. Okay. Why not? Right. So can you refresh me? What beats what? So what does,
yes. All right. So. There's a nice little graphic, but things essentially go in a circle. So the boomerang beats air and water. Air beats water and earth. Water beats earth and fire. Earth beats fire and boomerang. And fire beats boomerang and air. So it kind of like goes in a nice little circle.
All right. I'll try to see if I remember that.
All right. Well, I will remember it. So when we say what we do, I can deliver the win and loss.
All good. Perfect. Perfect.
All right. And then we've created hand signs so that we can play, but, it's not really easy to come up with water and air hand signs. Like they're both would be effectively the same, but
yeah. Yeah. But then we decided we're going to do like one hand going like in a wave sideways and one hand going in a wave upwards to differentiate. Yeah.
All right. Get hype for what might be just a flop of podcasting, but ready? Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I picked boomerang. You picked water. Boomerang beats water. That's one oh me.
That's some BS.
Let's
go. Okay, let's continue.
Best 2 out of 3? Or
Best 3 out of 5. Why not?
Whoa. Okay, Zach. Looks like you're having fun then. Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right. I picked fire. Zach picked earth. Earth beats fire. It is tied up 1-1.
There we go. I just made it 3 out of 5 because I want to win. My competitive nature is showing out.
You were like, I'm not about to get, like swept.
Yeah, exactly.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Oh,
we both picked air. Nice little tie. All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I picked earth. Zach picked air. Air beats earth. Zach goes up 2-1.
There we go. Dang.
All right. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Okay, I picked boomerang. Zach picked air. Air beats boomerang. It is tied 2-2.
No, wasn't I up 2-1?
Yeah, you're up 2-1, but boomerang beats air.
So oh, boomerang beats air. God dang it.
All right, so it is tied 2-2. Okay. I hope everyone is on the edge of their seats for the fact that I'm having a lot of fun. And here's the final round. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. All right, I picked fire. Zach picked water, and water beats fire. Zach is the champion of the elemental game. Congratulations, Zach.
We are the champions. We da.
No, okay, but I definitely had more fun. So I'm going to go ahead and say we're both winners here.
True. No, that was actually pretty fun. Pretty solid. Perfect. Game. I thought our hand signals were actually pretty good that we came up with like 5 minutes before the show.
I agree. I don't think like either one was too bad. Like none of them are hard to do. I feel like they like loosely represent the elements. So there you go.
Nice.
Cool. All right. Well, that's going to be all the rage on a playground near you. So get excited for that. Next thing we have on the docket is an Olympics draft. Obviously, it's the Summer Olympics and we love talking sports here. So Zach, you want to lead us through what sports we're going to be talking about, and lead us in.
Yeah, so there I want to talk about, so firstly for weightlifting, I had three guys I know can compete in it. I got Boomy, I got Swole Iroh from season 3, and I got Pip Squeak. I feel like all three of these guys could be good, powerful weightlifters. Is there anyone else I should add to the list, Jacob? Who would be a great weightlifter?
So do they actually have to pick it up with their hands?
I would assume so, yes.
And what is this, what are the weights made out of?
Just like generic, like Olympic weights. So like, they're made out of, I don't know, like what are weights made out of? That's a very good question.
The weights, Zach, I believe are made of metal. So I think we have to consider Toph Beifong.
All right, so Toph Beifong is and she could win, to be honest. If they're made out of metal, she could win. I know the bar is metal. I don't know if the weights are metal.
Well, I assume the weights are. I mean, like, the plates that, like, you put on at, like, a gym would be metal. I don't know, like, if the Olympic weights are made out of rubber, like, that's, like, a huge L for Toph. So let me try to quickly see if they are made out of metal. But yeah, so we have a few people. Let's for each event, let's give like a gold, silver, and a bronze. I think it matters a lot whether these are made of metal. Okay, it says Olympic plates are made from very dense rubber, so I guess Toph's not gonna get on the podium.
There we go. Too bad. So sad.
I was hoping for the dark horse here.
But yeah, those are the guys I got. I think I got Boomy as a dark horse here. Boomy was pretty jacked. I think he's my gold medalist here.
I agree. Boomy, I believe, gets the gold from me. Pipsqueak looks the strongest, for sure. Like, these old men that are, like, hiding their strength are definitely, like, they're very strong. I think Pipsqueak looks the strongest, but I think Pipsqueak's my bronze. I think Iroh gets the silver.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. And the thing is, for the running events, the issue is, I think we should ban Aang. I think Aang should be banned from all the running events. Because he's too fast compared to everyone else relative in the series. And then my question to you is, besides Aang, who is the fastest met person in the Avatar universe?
Again... I think Toph could just break everything. Can she, like, land surf?
Yes, or is Toph that, can okay. land surf. Sure, why not?
Can Azula, like, firebend jet?
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking Azula with the firebend jets could just, like, I think she could, especially in the long distance, if she just maintains a steady pace, I think Azula could, like, beat up all these, like, Ethiopian and Kenyan runners in a marathon. I think Azula takes it.
I do think so. Now I'm just trying to think what's faster, fire or earth?
I think that's the tough. Fire's a little faster.
The fire's a little faster. Okay.
I think so.
Okay.
At least so from what we see in the series, I think Azula's moving at a faster speed than Toph was.
Okay. So, yep. That makes sense to me. So we're going to give Azula the gold. We'll give Toph the silver. And then we don't really have anyone else who, like, just goes super fast. I mean,
no, I agree. I was struggling to come up with this for the segment, to be honest.
Does the ostrich horse, like,
no, get in? No, because the ostrich horse doesn't even move that fast. Like, Appa moves faster. I feel like we talked about this. The ostrich horse is kind of like, so actually though, the ostrich horse could win, like, these long distance events. So, you know what? We'll count the ostrich horse. Why not?
All right, so far we have the Fire Nation winning the gold here. We have the Earth Nation winning the silver. And then we have Animal winning one. All right, so through two events, the medal count is 3 medals to the Earth, 2 to the Fire, and 1 to the animals of the Avatar universe.
And then now we have gymnastics. And I think just like with... the running events, we have to ban somebody from gymnastics. And the person we're banning is Ty. You don't want to ban Ty Lee?
No, she's too broken. Yeah, no, she wins the gold. Good for her. She wins the gold.
Okay, then I personally would have, like, Aang winning the silver. And I think Katara's got some underrated gymnastics throughout the series. I think we see Katara. Why? Who do you have as third?
I was thinking through, like, you know, Kyoshi warrior types. I feel like they you know, get around, like, pretty swift. I was not thinking Katara as one of the people. Maybe Katara deserves it. Maybe she does.
I think she just has some underrated athletic feats in the show. Like, I've seen her, like, jump off, like, ice ramps and do all types of flips and stuff. So
that is true. She definitely she does have, like, the ice ramp jump down. I'm just trying to think, like, is the floor routine going to be good? Like, the thing where you, like, I don't know, juggle a bunch of ribbons around. I don't really know how Jibatsu.
Me neither. Oh, that's pretty funny. Continue.
I was just trying to think, but you know, I can give it to Katara. You know, we have to get some water representation up here for the gymnastics.
Yeah, and I think if competitive eating was in the Olympics, then soccer could win the gold. I have that as an honorable mention in my notes. I think if it's like a cactus juice chugging contest, soccer could win.
Yeah, he's going to rival Joey Chestnut. He's not going to be meddling here. I did think, like, you know, poor Sokka. Poor Sokka's never, ever going to win, an Olympic medal.
No, like me and you, you'll never win an Olympic medal. So I can't fault Sokka because I'm in the same boat as him.
That is fair. What's our next Olympic event, Zach?
Our next Olympic event is table tennis, aka ping pong.
Oh,
okay. Who I have winning the gold are Jin Fu and Master Yu. I think they set aside their differences. Yeah, it's doubles. I think they set aside their differences. They put their heads together and they win. So there you go.
What are you talking about? Why would they be good at this?
I don't know. I just think with their earth bending, I think they could win.
There's just no way that they would be good at this at all. I'm just trying to think of other duos that would be better. Like, give me like Jet and Longshot over like Master Yu and Jin Fu.
Ooh, Jet and Longshot. That's good. Though Longshot's got to be competing in archery against the Yu Yan archers. So.
Oh, that's true. Okay. I hope that is one of the events that we can talk about. But I think. Yeah, I can't imagine that they would set aside their differences. I think they just fight too much.
Yeah, you're probably right. And honestly, you know who would end up be another good duo to beat them? Ty Lee and May, I think, could beat them for sure.
Oh, for sure. And it's because like May would just be like standing in one place and then Ty Lee would be like bailing them out, like jumping all over the place to win. You know what? Gold medal, I think, goes to Ty Lee and May.
Okay.
Silver medal, I believe, would go to Longshot and Jet, and then I think Master Yu and Jin Fu get the bronze, a pity bronze for them.
I don't even think they podium, to be honest. Upon further review, but you're right. Like in the, we'll give them the bronze. We'll just leave it at that.
Perfect. What's our next event here?
Our last event is archery, and I have three competitors. I have the Yu Yan archer, so I guess they can just count as one. I have Longshot, and then I have Sparky Boom Man, but instead of shooting with an arrow, he just shoots like that thing out of his head and just shoots it directly into the the target. So there we go. Those are my three nominees for archery.
So the Yu Yan archers are like legendary archers. I think they have to win the gold. Sparky Boom Man is like notoriously bad at aiming. Like, yes, he's like, he has the biggest explosion, so you wouldn't be able to tell like where he actually hit on the like bullseye, but also like he's not gonna hit it like so easily. He's gonna get distracted. So I'm gonna give him the bronze and Longshot the silver. Do you agree, Zach?
Yeah, I agree. We don't see Longshot actually shoot his arrows too many times.
That is true. I guess we're just going based on the fact that we trust that, that he'll be good. I guess we don't really know that he'll, succeed there.
Yeah, that's true. So there we go. That's all for the Olympics. And shout out once again to, what's his name? Kieran Badlow, the man who claimed his Avatar Aang hairstyle won him the gold medal at the Tokyo Olympics. So yeah. There you go. That's our little Olympic segment. I thought I had fun with that. That was pretty,
that was a great time.
Yeah.
And thank you for Felipe for suggesting this segment. He also suggested the next segment. So honestly, producer of the podcast at this point.
True.
He also like came up with the season one T Quartet idea. So really, like very valuable. But also, so looking at the medal count, the Earth Kingdom did absolutely demolish everyone else in the medals. So I guess
makes sense. They're the biggest nation, right? So makes sense. Yeah. It's like China and America dominating at the Olympics.
True. Well, congrats to the Earth Nation. Pour one out for the Water Nation that despite only, having like more than one competitor, only won one medal, Aang went one for one. So that's pretty impressive, but yeah.
Aang could have honestly gone more than one for one. I think Aang like wins any event he's competing in, to be honest, with his airbending.
That is true. Yeah, airbending probably gets banned by the IOC. So
it's just a performance enhancing drug, airbending.
Exactly. All right. Well, the next thing we have is a fun game called 25 Words or Less. I have generated a list of over 50 Avatar related things. How this is going to work is that we're each going to get a list of 10, and then we're going to have to get the other person to guess the 10 words we have in 25 words or less. Zach, you want to start us off and go first on this list?
Sure, I'll start. Fortune teller.
Is that one word?
Yeah, that's one word.
Very efficient then. That's going to be Aunt Wu.
Correct.
All right.
Okay, you can go now.
I think it's probably going to be easiest for you, because we have to keep track of how many words you have, for you to do all of them.
Okay, fair. Okay, I'll do all of this. So that was my number 10. Okay, number 9. Prison. Yeah.
Are you sure we don't need more words for this? Judy?
Yeah. Oh, close. Okay, I'll add another word, like... I'm trying to, should I use two words here, you think?
Yeah. We have 2.5 words per word. Well, first off, okay. You've used like 50 words, just asking how many words you should use.
Oh, but. True. My bad.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. 2.5 words per word. Okay. So then since I used one for my first one, I'll use indoctrination center.
Lake Laogai. Got it.
There you go. You were all close right. The first time. But prison, I was like, it's the most recent prison we've seen. Hopefully it'll work. So that was close.
No, that's fair. I was thinking of the person who is imprisoned and not the prison itself, but.
Yeah. Okay, next
I
up. Also,
I was going to say Boiling Rock, and I was like, I think that's a season 3 thing.
Yes, anyway. It is. Okay. So we'll continue. This one's pretty easy. Gymnast.
Ty Lee.
Perfect. I was going to say like flexible, but there we go.
And flexible. That would give me like Water Tribe, like Element of Change type stuff. Like gymnast is easily.
Yeah, true. I had to make it work in my head. Okay, next up. I don't know how to describe this. I'm struggling. Because I'm going to use multiple words for this. Okay, Long Fang's crew.
Long Fang's crew. Ty Lee.
Correct. Are you keeping track of how many words I've used so far?
You used 8 words, and I think we've gotten through 4 of them. So we're on track to win.
Okay. Next up, the that's going to be so many words.
I think the way that this game works is there's like a 60-second timer, and you're not allowed to say anything else except the words. But you're just like, this one's going to be hard. Like if someone's like playing along at home, they're like, this one's going to be hard. All right, he's already out of words.
Oh yeah, that's true.
It's fine.
Okay. Earth Avatar.
Kyoshi.
Correct.
That one's not going to be hard. You could have said novel. I would have gotten Kyoshi novels.
Oh, that's so true. You're a much smarter man than I am, Jacob.
Oh, my gosh. All right. We have 15 words and 5 things left.
Next up, Avatar State episode.
General Fung.
Oh, I'm so shocked you got that. Wow. Shout out to you for even getting that. I would not have gotten that.
Okay, I was thinking to myself, like, what on earth could he possibly be trying to refer to? And then I was like, all right, it's got to be the antagonist from the episode.
Okay.
All right, 12 words left, 4 things to go.
Tom is the next hint.
Tom. Is it May?
No.
Omashu?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Omashu. And then next up, I'm just letting you know, this is technically a season 1 thing.
Oh, I did. Yeah, some season 1 things will be here.
Okay. So, Jong Homie.
Oh, yeah, I put this one in because I love it. That's Che.
Che. And then is Jong 2 words? Because technically that should be 1 word. I was going to say Jong Homie, but I was like,
I count it as 2 words. You have 17 words and how many things left? 2?
It's 3. Or no, 3? 2.
Yeah. You're good. You've got 8 words for 2 left. You're
crushing. Okay. Jet's crew.
What are they called? I literally did this earlier. Oh, the Freedom Fighters, of course.
Correct. And then last but not least, Aang's best friend and Water Tribe member.
I'm sorry. What? You said too many words now.
Aang's best friend.
Aang's best friend.
Yeah.
Katara.
Not lover, best friend.
Sokka?
Yeah, there you go.
I feel like Katara is a better friend than Sokka.
I mean, yeah, but then is your, I guess your significant other can be your best friend. That's fair.
All right.
Technically, Appa's his best friend, but yeah, there we go.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I was like, there's no way he means Appa.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. So you want to give me 10 words? I'm going to do way worse at this than you, but I'll try it out. Let's see how it goes.
Let's hope not. I'm very competitive. All right. Let me generate my list of 10. Oh, no. So I made this list, but I put some hard ones on here for me. All right. I'm going to track my words. Okay. Earth capital.
Ba Sing Se.
Easy. Love it. All right. Why did I put this one on here? vegetable merchant.
Oh, the cabbage man.
Okay, thank goodness. I was like, I was going to say like my, and then like hope that he just picked up on that.
All right. That would have been good, actually.
All right. Beifong.
Toph.
Yep, easy. Okay. Oh, okay. I have a few easy ones in here. Uncle.
Iroh.
Great. All right. So we're through four. I've used six words. Not too bad. Okay. Give me a break. Old Fire Lord.
Ah, what's his name? Is it Sozin?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, nice.
Nice. Okay. Bear.
Bosco.
Nice. Mick Foley.
The Boulder.
Okay, let's see. I've done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and I have... I'm crushing it. All right.
Yeah, you're doing great.
Nightmare Owl.
Wan Shi Tong.
Great.
You could have just said owl there, probably.
No, Nightmare needed to be included. Nightmare was actually... Nightmare is included. It needed fair. To be. Okay. Worst episode.
Worst episode of in general?
Season 1.
Oh, Bato of the Water Tribe. That's easy. I was going to say it anyways, but I just had to make sure it was just was like a nod just season 2. Yeah, that is the worst episode. I can't believe I gave that a 2.4. I'm still angry at myself for that. I should have given that a negative 10.
Okay, we can go back and we can clean that one up. All right. I think I've got two words left. I didn't actually count to 10. I just like ordered them in lists. So I know I have 8 words that I'm allowed to use. So Admiral.
Zhao.
Okay. And then Power of Smell.
Power of Smell. You're going to have to give me something else. I have no idea.
Northern Temple.
Power of Smell, Northern Temple. What's going on at the Northern Temple and the power?
Do I have two more words left? I think so. Okay, season 1.
Jinju? I don't know.
No. No. I don't think I can say anything.
Just say one. Say a couple more words. Who cares? Let's see if we can get it. Doesn't matter.
Okay. Inventor?
Oh, the mechanist.
Yeah, I probably should have just gone with Inventor, the first one. That would have been way easier. The thing that stuck with me is he said never. Oh, it's the power of stink. I messed it up. I messed up the quote anyway.
Oh, yeah, I remember the quote now. Okay.
All right.
But then the stink had me thinking of like Hakoda's stinking sink from a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, I messed that one up. Anyway, there you go. That was our, that was fun. I had a good time playing that.
25 yeah, that was cool.
Words or less is a good game. Thanks, Felipe, for the suggestion there.
Now, should we get into some listener feedback?
Yes, let's do it. So in season one, this is a question from John. In season one, we talked about how some episodes should get switched. I don't know if you remember this, Zach.
And yes, I do. Yep.
Would you want to switch any episodes? And can you random number generate another one to see the ramifications? So I guess first question, are there any that we want to switch? And then if not, I'll random number generator one and we will see the ramifications. I thought this was like a fun thing that we did last season. So thanks for bringing it back. But yeah.
I think last season, the thing is, it was a lot more episodic. I think prior to the last like 2-3 episodes where they're in the Northern Water Tribe, it's a lot easier to switch. Whereas you can't necessarily switch like the guru and an early season two episode, you know what I mean? Or like the finale and like an early season two. Oh, well, I mean, you would never switch the finale, but like you can't switch some of the later season two episodes with like a earlier season two episode. It'll be a lot tougher, I think.
That's definitely true. And it becomes even more true in season three. Like season one really is like, let's explore the world. Let's go on a different adventure every episode. It doesn't really matter the order of these things. And like by the time we get to season three, it's like, this happens and then this has to happen and this has to happen. And like everything leads to the next. So it probably will not work as well as last time. I do think that you could have gotten the Cave of Two Lovers significantly later in the season. You know, Aang is so reticent to give up his connection to Katara in the Guru. And so if the Cave of Two Lovers is on the way to Ba Sing Se and not on the way to Omashu, maybe it makes it better, but
could do that. That works, I think. That's one of the few switches that makes sense, in my opinion.
All right, well, let's see what the random number generator tells us, and we will deal with the ramifications afterwards. The episode that we are going to switch is Avatar Day. Okay, so that's one that we can switch, and we're going to put it after the library. So instead of going to the desert, he immediately rolls up on Avatar Day. Zach, how does that episode go?
I mean, I guess the village is just like in the middle of the desert somewhere instead of where it normally is. So
it's a random village in the desert that is just like, okay, even though we're like literally in the desert, we're going to like spend all of our resources to burn statues instead of like get out of the desert. And then Aang,
continue.
I was going to say Aang here has just lost Appa. So now instead of like, you know, dealing with that in the desert episode, he's dealing with that as people are putting him on trial. I think he like does a Kyoshi like thing and destroys the entire city if this comes right after the library.
That's a very, very good point. I think Aang would not put up with these villagers' BS on the heels of losing Appa. So that's a very good point. You're right.
Yeah, not at all. This episode becomes, in the HBO version, the entire town gets wiped out. And then Aang has to deal with the fact that he like killed a bunch of innocent people for the rest of the series.
Yikes. Yeah, you're probably right.
All right. Do we want to do this again?
Sure. We can do it one more time. Why not?
All right. Episode 14, The City of Walls and Secrets. Uh-oh, this is not about to make sense. Goes, okay, again. This one's episode 7. So The City of Walls and Secrets comes after Zuko Alone. So before, this makes no sense. This is why this doesn't work.
I mean, I guess it just speeds up the whole show. It's just like, we just skip over a bunch of stuff and instead they just end up in Ba Sing Se right away, so.
Yeah, definitely not as good. So glad they did not do that one. I feel like the one that I said earlier could work. I feel like getting the Cave of Two Lovers later could be feasible.
Yeah, no, it's very feasible. You're right.
Cool. And then other question from John: who or what minor character deserves? Oh my god, that was so bad. Can I try again?
Yes, try again.
Thank you. What minor character deserves a spinoff from this season? I think this is a good question because it seems like season one had a lot more like random characters that needed a lot more like that I could, you know, listen to for hours. They don't really have as many minor characters here. So where would you think we can get a spinoff here?
Well, we talked about one spinoff, Judge Judy.
Okay. Yep.
So we have like the judge, like judicial process of like small claims court with all the Judys instead of Yep. The affirmation Judge Judy. So there you go. That's one.
That definitely, what else we got? That definitely could work. I think that we could get that professor that went into the library with them. Like, we could get like him doing like, you know, explain this science stuff.
Oh, that's true. Like a PBS, like documentary style thing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He could be like the new Carl Sagan.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love it. And then I think the last one is that we could get that buddy cop between Jin Fu and Master Yu.
There we go. Just like a buddy cop movie between those two. Have them bickering and like solving crimes.
Yep, exactly. All right. Well, there you go. That is. Those are some solid spinoffs. I'm a fan of those.
Me too.
We also had the professor write in with a few questions for us. The first question is, have you ever considered why bending skills are so nation-specific? There's a few Legend of Korra spoilers here. They're very, very light spoilers, so I'm going to go ahead and read them. But if you're very sensitive, you can skip ahead about 30 seconds. But in the Legend of Korra, we learn that Aang and Katara have a child who can airbend and a child who can waterbend and a child without bending skills. This implies that bending is genetically inherited. But then if bending skills are genetically inherited, why doesn't the Earth Nation have any waterbenders? Or the Fire Nation have any airbenders? Have no benders from one nation ever married any bender from another nation? What a shame. This seems so wrong. And then he gives a potential answer. But first, I'll hear your thoughts. Like, why do you think there's none of this, like, intermarrying or intermingling or whatever?
I think it's because of the war. I think it's because if there was no 100-year war, we'd see a lot more intermingling. I think to spoil the Kyoshi novels a little bit, not really. Kyoshi is friends with an earthbender and a firebender, and she like trains with them and stuff. So they did coexist in like the centuries prior to the 100-year war. But okay. I think just the war is what divided all of them, and that's why we see them so separate in Avatar The Last Airbender.
I love that answer. Like, I think that that is a good in-universe answer. The answer that he provided was that it could be too game-breaking to have benders of all types spread out across the four nations, so the showrunners had to cabin bending ability by nation to make the show work. I think that's probably, like, the actual answer, but I think your in-universe answer is great. Like, there's a war going on, so there's not this, like, intermingling, but probably after the events of Avatar Season 3, there's a lot more intermingling going on. So,
yeah,
cool. Yep. And then last question we have here. Why is there such little free trade between the water and earth nations? This seems to be the best economic bet they have to compete against Fire Nation's advanced industrialization. And to that, as an economic student, I completely agree. It makes no sense to me. Zach, what's the in-universe explanation here?
I don't got one. I'll let you tackle this as the economics expert if you got a reason for this.
Well, it just seems like there's so many things that the two nations are doing. Like, Earth and Water are both unique because, like, their entire cities are made out of the elements they know. Like, they could easily expedite, like, or they could export, like, many different things from each nation, and they don't. I don't get it. It does not make sense to me. This is a huge oversight. The only thing I can think of is that, like, maybe trade is done by the Earth King, and the Earth King doesn't know that, like, there's a war going on, so the Dai Li doesn't let him, like, know. But there's, like, very little in-universe explanation for this.
Yeah, I agree completely, honestly.
Well, there you go. That is our listener feedback. As always, you can write into us, avatar@poshorecaps.com. I will put out the poll for what's the best two episode stretch of Avatar, but if you have any reasons why you think one is better than the other, I would be very interested to hear. So please do let us know. And then, Zach, the only thing we have left for this week is to tell the people what we have going on next week.
So next week, what we're doing, we're going to be doing a Brant Steel. I explained it last week. I'll give a brief summary refresher. So basically, it's going to be a mock Survivor season. Jacob, are we going to have video for this?
Sure.
For the Brant Steel? Because Brant Steels do work better with video usually, because then you can follow along the season.
Yeah, I was going to post the link to the like Brant Steel season, but we can try to see how video works. I do not really know the behind the scenes on any of this, so we will have to ask the people that know, but yeah, we will try to.
Okay. And then, yeah, so basically it's going to be a mock Survivor season, but instead of Survivor characters, it's going to be obviously characters from Avatar The Last Airbender. And I have a question, Jacob. How many people you want on this season? Should we do a 16-person, 18-person?
I think we should do an 18-person, like a healers, heroes, hustlers type season where it's split into three. We've gotten a few good suggestions for how that would work. I think that that is better, or the other thing we could do is a heroes versus villains, but I think it's better to do like a brains, bronze, beauty.
Yeah, I agree. I think like a Kaguyan type season would be good.
All right. Well, then clearly, like Crazy Boomy's going to win. If it takes Tony energy to win.
And then I feel like we should have obviously a bunch of serious characters, but then each of us should be allowed to pick like one side character. Like if you want Chang to be one? In the Brad Steel or maybe two, maybe two random side. But then we have to have like Katara, Toph, Aang, Sokka.
For sure. For sure.
There's going to be like a bunch of like spots picked. Azula's going to have to be in there. So I was thinking only one because we're going to have to fill in some spots.
All right. Well, we will set up the season. Maybe we can go through and have a little bit of it on air. We'll schedule it through the week between the two of us. But then next week will be a Brant Steel where we'll be going over Survivor Season 28, but Avatar The Last Airbender. So get excited for that.
There we go. Should be a lot of fun. I'm super excited.
Yeah. Yeah. It should be a great time. And then the week after that, we will be back on a Season 3. So very exciting getting in to the last season of Avatar The Last Airbender. It feels like we just started, but Zach, we're almost out of Avatar The Last Airbender.
I know, it's crazy. What are we going to do when this whole thing's done? I don't know what I'm going to do with myself.
Talk about Wishbone, I guess. I don't know. I had not thought that far ahead, but we will get there.
Talk about Wishbone, Jesus Christ. That's the last thing I want to do. All right.
I mean, wait, there has to be so many episodes of Wishbone, Zach. We'd be podcasting for decades.
I'm sure Josh is going to love that pitch. So we got this show about this dog. It solves mysteries. And Zach had nightmares about it back in the day.
Zach, there are only two seasons of Wishbone. We can't even podcast about it that long.
Oh, I thought there was more, to be honest.
There's only 50 episodes. This is the worst news I found out about all day. Anyway, next week we'll be back to go over our Brant Steel of Avatar characters. If you have any suggestions of people that are absolute locks, please do let us know. And then we will see you next week.
All right. Peace out, everyone.
Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.